Runsmith Enterprises presents episode 10 of Topics in Endurance Sports. I'm your host, Tim. Today is Wednesday, October 11th, 2017, and I would like to say happy birthday to my brother. He is a young 63 years old today. You can find out more information from me about me at my website at runsmith.net, runsmith.net. And you can find my email, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all that type of stuff. And also my coaching services. I've recently added a new type of service along with my regular month-to-month type service, or really a day-to-day type of coaching service. I've now added the possibility where I just write out a plan for you, basically a fairly simple plan that could last from 8 weeks to 30 weeks, depending on what type of race you're training for and how far out your race is. And this would not have the constant communication of the regular month-to-month coaching, but it is less expensive. And in any case, no matter what type of coaching you get from me, you never, ever, ever get cookie-cutter plans. I don't just say, hey, you're doing a 5K, so everyone gets the same 5K plan. I talk with you about your background, what your goals are, what your current status is with your running, and then I create a plan just for you. So that is the type of coaching service you get from me. So check that out at runsmith.net. Also, if you want to donate to the show, you can do it at patreon.com/runsmith. And you can go on there and donate like $1 per episode. And as I'm about to mention, I don't do a whole lot of episodes too often. So you might get by with like $10 per year or something if you were to do something like that. So it doesn't cost a whole lot, and that really does help me offset expenses that I have every single month, whether I put out an episode or not. So if you don't want to, you know, be donating every single month and then have me not do an episode, just donate per episode, and then you're contributing a little bit each time I do an episode. This episode, episode 10, is brought to you by Spoken Bicycles of Middletown, Ohio. I've brought them up before. It's a new bike shop in Middletown, Ohio, with service and sales, and also a full-service bar inside the store. So Otto and Mallory are the two owners, and they are absolutely wonderful. And on top of these services, every Tuesday night they have a run from the store. I always go to those at 6 p.m. He has bike rides on Thursday evenings. I should go to those, but haven't been yet. They've also formed a cyclocross team, which I'm interested in because I do cyclocross. And it's just a fun place to hang out. So check out Spoken Bicycles of Middletown, Ohio. Also, this is brought to you by the Steel City Half Day Fat Ass Run. Ass is spelled A-Z-Z. Steel City Half Day Fat Ass Run. This event is in Smith Park in Middletown, Ohio. And Middletown is between Dayton and Cincinnati. And this race is a 12-hour run from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, November 11th, 2017. This will be a 2.5-mile bike path loop. It is paved, which you can run as many times as you want in 12 hours. You do not have to run the full 12 hours. You can come and run for 1 hour or 3 hours or 6 hours. Anything you like, you can do from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you could run maybe the end of it, which might be fun because you could cheer on the people who have been running out for a full 12 hours while you go out and run just the last couple of hours. So it could be something fun like that. There will be special swag for anyone who manages to do 50 full miles during this time, and that is not a trivial thing to do. Get this on the entry fee. The entry fee will be a pair of socks or some article of clothing that we could donate to the homeless shelter. That's what's meant by a fat ass, people. Fat ass means you don't pay an entry fee to get in, generally. So this is a donation for the homeless shelter. And on top of you don't pay a lot, you also don't get a lot back as far as swag. You don't get shirts and all types of crazy stuff like that. So aid stations will be pretty minimal. Generally, I'll have some water and a few other little things. But you should bring your own drinks and your own food and stuff like that. It's a 2.5-mile loop, so you can just run right by your little owned aid station over and over and over. So the point is, it's kind of a group run, a fun run. Everyone's cheering each other on, and really a great training race. Maybe if you're training for a marathon or training for something else, or maybe you want to say you're afraid to run a marathon because you think you won't make the time limit, come and do this. You have 12 hours and run 26.2 miles. And you can say you've run a marathon. So that's another fun thing you can do. This was put on by a couple of friends of mine, Alex and Barney, two great guys here in Middletown. So it will be a good time. Unfortunately, before they coordinated this, I signed up for a race on November 11th. I'm super bummed out that I can't run it or be there to crew or volunteer. But I had already signed up for the race, so maybe next year I will be there. It's only a few blocks from me. Also, for this particular episode, episode 10, it's kind of a travel log episode, and this might be one where it's good to look at the pictures while you're listening to me ramble on. All right. So I'll try to get these pictures up on the website, the show notes, as soon as I can. So if you want, you can listen to me ramble and look at the pictures. Or at the very least, maybe look at the pictures afterwards if you listen while you're out running or doing something else. Because there's going to be a lot of visuals to this in a way, and I'm just talking. You might be wanting to say, hey, what did that look like? What did that look like? And I have hundreds of pictures about what I'm talking about today, so I'll try to at least get one or two up for every little adventure I'm talking about. So what is today's episode? Today's topic, racing, running, and sightseeing in California. And yes, as I mentioned a little earlier, I am way, way, way behind. This is stuff I did in June, and it is now October. So I'm about 4 months behind. And part of that is because I'm a cross-country coach. And even though it's only four afternoons a week and then Saturday mornings, it really manages to kind of suck up a lot of time. And I also do some other teaching as well on top of that. But that's not a great excuse because I know there are people who have full-time jobs who get out an episode every week. But I don't feel the pressure to do that. I never said I was going to do an episode a week. So I do them when I do them. I do have two more episodes pretty much in the can that I need to get the notes ready. But two more episodes to talk about. I've got a couple of races coming up, so a couple more episodes. So with any luck, I will be doing a bunch of episodes kind of on top of each other because cross-country season is ending this weekend, so that will help. So as I said, this is kind of a travel log. At the end of May, I did the Western States 100-mile race training runs, and I did an episode about that. That was at the end of May when I did that. And then at the end of June, I attempted the Western States 100-mile race, and I did an episode about that. That's episodes 8 and 9, so check those out. This episode is about everything else I did between those two things. So we spent a month in California, and this is all the running and sightseeing and things like that we did in California. And the point of this, as always, is hopefully to be kind of useful. I'll tell you a little bit about our lodging, a bunch of trails that I went and ran on, and even a couple of other races I threw in, spur-of-the-moment races I threw in. So that's what this is all about. And hopefully, if you're thinking of going to California, you might get some useful tips out of this. Or maybe this will encourage you to go to California for a week or 2 weeks or something like that if you can, if you're lucky enough to. You could do that, and you get some ideas from this. And most of this, or all of this, is pretty much situated along the I-80 corridor between Lake Tahoe and the Bay Area. So this does not cover Southern California or far Northern California. So first, I would like to thank my wife, my wonderful wife, who not only pretty much paid for this whole thing, because right now her husband's a bit of a bum, but she spent hours and hours on Airbnb and other places trying to find our lodging. And she found a fantastic Airbnb for us to spend to stay at for the month. So I will mention that in just a moment. All right, so let's get started here. Our month began just before Memorial Day in Ohio, where we live, and we drove all the way to California. I had way too much stuff to bring to fly. And even though no one really wants to drive that far, it was still cheaper and more convenient to drive than it is to fly. And we couldn't have carried everything we took with us as well. We did stop in Iowa. That's where my family is. So we drove to Iowa, visited my family briefly. And then we went from Iowa to Wyoming, spent the night in Wyoming. From Wyoming to Nevada, spent the night there. Those were two long drives. And then from Nevada, we went to Nevada City in California. And that's where our Airbnb was, in Nevada City, California. Nevada City is about 45 miles northeast of Auburn, California, about 60 miles southwest of Truckee. It's a little bit in the middle of nowhere. So it's off Highway 49 a little ways and Highway 20, those areas. It's off that a little way in this city called Nevada City. And actually, Nevada City is kind of a city proper, but we were outside of it about 5 miles, kind of out in the country. The address was Nevada City, but we were out in the country. So it was pretty neat. It was an actual ranch area with our little place had a horse, and a bunch of other places had horses near us, even some cattle. There were turkeys roaming all over the place. We saw little tiny baby turkeys. A couple of nights I saw a mommy skunk with a bunch of little baby skunks. Very cute, and deer all the time coming by and stuff like that. So we really did feel like we were kind of out in the country. And that was in Nevada City. So we arrived there on Thursday, May 25th is when we arrived there, right before Memorial Day weekend. So nearly all of the running I'm going to describe, all the trail running I did, just the fun runs we did, these were done usually on a path where my wife could also hike. So keep that in mind, because my wife doesn't really run as much as I do, but she does love to get out and hike. So usually it would be like an out and back, but I would just go ahead of her, and maybe I would run 3 or 4 miles out and 3 or 4 miles back, and she would hike a mile or two out and a mile or two back, something like that. We did do some loops, and maybe I would do the full loop and then start running backwards on a loop to find her, stuff like that. But always keep in mind that it was the two of us together in almost every single case. And so if you're wondering, oh, why didn't I do this big, long, long, long run? Well, that's why. I didn't want to just leave her forever. And I had no reason to do any super long runs anyway. I took care of that in Memorial Day weekend training runs. And from there, it was just kind of taking it easy up to the race. So on May 26th, which was a Thursday, the day after we arrived, we went to a trail called Independence Trail, and it's off Highway 49 near Nevada City. And some information, so I'll give information about all these trails and things we did. So the Independence Trail was founded by the late John Olmsted. The Independence Trail transformed an historic gold mining ditch into the nation's first identified handicapped accessible wilderness trail. It is now one of the most popular trails in the area, contouring along wooded hillsides, passing live streams, and crossing deep gorges on restored wooden flumes that once transported water for hydraulic mining. The Independence Trail is oriented for most of its length around the canyon of Rush Creek, and there's a west and an east trail. The west trail features several wooden flumes, picnic tables, and benches. Flume 28, over 500 feet in length, crosses above a waterfall on Rush Creek, about 1.1 miles west of the trailhead. So that's the way we went. We went to this about 4 times because my wife really liked this trail, and a lot of it was shaded, very nice. And you'd come to this little flume. It looks just like a wooden bridge now, but evidently it was part of the water system. And it's just an absolutely beautiful view. Every single time I ran over it, either direction, I'd stop and look and take more pictures. You're looking down at this creek way below you, and it's just really, really great views. So it was a wonderful little place to run. We saw, that's the first place we started seeing lizards. We saw about 8 billion lizards in California. And actually, it's the first place I saw kind of a different type of lizard, a kind of a salamander-ish soft lizard that I could actually grab and pick up. I have a picture of me holding it. All the other lizards I ever saw in California were the little really fast things. Like as soon as you got near them, they just darted away. But we went there a number of times, really enjoyed it. Excuse me. Sorry, I had to cough. Really enjoyed it. And I would run out like a few miles, like I said, and then turn around and come back and find my wife. Also, I think on the same day, we went to the Auburn Running Company, which is in Auburn. And I think I mentioned this probably in one of the last episodes, but it's like the running store in Auburn. And they've got some cool stuff there, like when you win Western States, you get a big cougar a statue. It's like a foot tall. It's big. If you win it, and they had a couple of those on display, Ann Trason's from Cougar, and then also Andy Gonzalez. I think he won in 77 and 78, 1977 and 1978. They had one of his Cougars as well. They had some other paraphernalia, like the shoes that Scott Jurek wore when he won in 2005. So I always like little stuff like that. So we went there because I was about to do the Western States training runs, and I wanted to make sure I had any gels and all that stuff I needed. So the next day was the training run. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday were the training runs. If you want to hear about that, go to episode 8. That's where I talk about that. So after that, the next day that we actually did anything was June 1st. We went to a place called Buttermilk Bend Trail, which is on the Yuba River. Also not too far from Nevada City. So we haven't strayed really far from our little spot yet. So the Buttermilk Bend Trail is a 2.3-mile moderately trafficked out and back trail located near Penn Valley, which is also near Nevada City. And it also features a river. Then there are side trails down to the river, and you get absolutely beautiful. I'm going to say this over and over and over, people, so get used to it. Really beautiful views. So you're looking down at the river, just gorgeous, especially if you're coming from like the Midwest. I suppose California people, their eyes just glaze over because they see this every day. But if you're coming from the Midwest or the East or anywhere, the views are just beautiful, beautiful views. And so I did run down one of the little side trails down to the river, which is cool to be right next to it. And my wife really liked this walk as well, although it was a little more exposed, very sunny and kind of toasty. But it was a very nice run I did there, out and back. The funny thing is I got really, really mad because they charged $20 for parking, which I thought was ridiculous. There was like no one in the parking lot, and we drive in and we have to pay $20 to park in this parking lot just to be out in the trail for a tiny bit. So because the $20 lasted all day, I got so mad that we went back there that evening to run a different trail. Across the street from the parking lot was another trail called the Point Defiance Loop. And part of that is also along the Yuba River, just on the other side of the street. And this is a pretty cool little trail. It goes kind of up and up and up, and it's pretty rocky. And you go up a big hill, and then as you're circling, you come back down the hill around to the river. Then you run along the river to the finish. And I think I looked it up, and it says it's like a 3-mile loop, but it seems like I ran farther. But I was too lazy to check my Garmin Connect to see how far I really ran, but it probably was just a few miles like that. It's got a covered bridge right when you come into the end of it, which is really neat. And my wife also liked this one. It was kind of one of the tougher things that she did because she really had to hike up a pretty steep hill at the beginning, and some of it was rocky and technical, but it was a fun loop called the Point Defiance Loop. So I got my $20 worth of parking by parking. I think what really made me mad is I discovered had you just driven like a quarter mile down the road or a half mile, you could just park along the side of the road for free. And here I paid $20. So there is a tip, a California tip. A lot of places where they want you to pay for parking and it's really expensive, you can drive like a quarter mile somewhere and there'll be these parking spots along the side of the road and you can park. And at first I thought, nah, that can't be. You know, that you must be going to get a ticket if you park at these other spots, but you don't. It's okay. So I don't really understand the concept of having a $20 parking lot when a quarter mile down the road, you can just park for free. So I didn't know that yet at this time. So that's what happened there. So there's a tip. On June 3rd, we went up to Truckee. So Truckee is the little city. If you're coming along I-80 from the east and you're going into California, you always go right next to Truckee, California. It's got a very famous history, very close to where the Donner Party spent the winter and, of course, resorted to some cannibalism. It's near Donner Lake, for example. And it's got a cute little street that's like, you know, 5 blocks long, very touristy, with a bunch of restaurants and a bunch of little shops and stuff like that. we went there like three times, and one time there was a little festival going on with the band and just a bunch of stuff in this. They closed the street off and made it pedestrian only, and there's a little festival going on with things for sale and stuff like that. So cute little town. Like I said, we went there a few times and ate there a few times. So near there, from what I gather, they're trying to turn Truckee into more of a trail town. It's already kind of a mountain town. So there are mountain shops, you know, for all your skiing gear and stuff like that, and probably climbing. But I think they're trying to turn it also into a summer trail town with running trails and biking trails. So they're building them around the area. Kind of made me think it'd be a smart place to go open up a running store. Because they didn't have a running store. One of the mountain shops did have running shoes, probably because they were just smart enough to see, hey, let's kind of add that on. But they didn't have an actual dedicated running store. So someone should do that. Although I can't imagine what the rent is there. Probably extremely expensive. Not to mention you're snowed in all winter. But anyway, I did go to a trail called the Sawtooth Bike Trail. I highly recommend this trail near Truckee. And there's a number of other places we could have went to, like, for example, around the lake. But I'm not sure they're finished building the trail around all of Donner Lake. I think it's in process, maybe. But the Sawtooth Bike Trail is kind of near Truckee, you know, only like 10 miles outside of town, if that far. And it overlooks the Truckee River. You're way above it, like hundreds of feet, it seems like, above the river. And it's about a 10-mile loop, kind of a elongated loop, like a football-shaped loop. And right down the middle of the loop is a dirt road that you could drive down. And so what I do is I ran half of it. I ran kind of down to the end of the loop, like one point of the football down to the other point of the football. And I did that along the river, and it was just tons of beautiful views again, just overlooking the river. Just fantastic. Very nice little single track. There's a bike trail, so every now and then bikes go by, which I actually enjoy. And then when I came back, just to not stretch this out too long because my wife was out hiking, I just ran the road back. But it'd be fun to do the whole loop. So I probably ran, you know, 5 miles on the trail, and then another 4 miles or 3 miles just straight back down the road, which was still fine. It was fun running down the road as well. So I recommend that. That was a really nice loop. And then afterwards, we went to Truckee and ate at a place called Burger Me. Me with an exclamation point. Burger Me. I actually enjoyed it. So if you want a good burger, check out Burger Me in Truckee. The next day, June 4th, I did not mess around, folks. Pretty much most every day, we were traveling somewhere or doing something. So the next day, June 4th, we finally headed the other direction down towards Sacramento, and I did a run near Folsom Lake. Okay, it's a pretty big lake south of Auburn near Sacramento, and I parked at a place called Beals Point, which is where there's a beach. I'm pretty sure that's where we parked. So there was a beach there, and then there's a trail called the Pioneer Express Trail. And it's like 15 miles long total. So it starts like south of Folsom Lake and goes along Folsom Lake, then goes north of Folsom Lake, I think. I just ran part of it on Folsom Lake. Again, beautiful, single track, very nice running. And you're kind of going in and out, like for a moment you don't see the lake and then you do see the lake. It's always was on my right as I was running out, and kind of curved along, and I got to one spot that was just, you know, beautiful. I could kind of see the beach way over on the other side. Very, very nice. And then I turned around and ran back, and of course my wife was hiking. And what was nice, it was pretty hot, and when I got done, the beach had lots of cars and lots of people at the beach, and it was a free beach, and I just, in my running shorts, took my shoes off, my shirt off, and jumped in the water. So it was very, very, very nice way to cool off afterwards. Really enjoyed that. So it was another great run. And there are races here, I think, too. So a lot of these places where we ran, well, some of them have races. I'd love to do a race on there. And I did see some other runners out there as well. Most every place I went, I'd see other runners. Right after that, by the way, we went to Folsom Prison. In case that was ringing a bell, Folsom, and you were like, where have I heard that? Yeah, Folsom Prison, like the Johnny Cash song, or the Johnny Cash album, Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison, which helped to revive his career when he did that. And we went to the prison, and there's a little tiny museum there. It's really cool. So you kind of walk almost in, you're not in the prison, but you're within the big gates leading to the prison. And you can walk in there, and there's a little, it's a little tiny house type of thing. And they've converted the bottom floor, just a few rooms, to the prison. But it was worth going into. It didn't cost anything. You know, it's funny. I think it was supposed to, but it was supposed to cost a few dollars, but they didn't charge us. And we went in, and there's all types of things. Like, they got knives that they got from the inmates, you know, inmates trying to make knives out of things, and even homemade guns. These inmates would make guns out of things. They got stuff like that, and stories about anyone who tried to escape, and all types of things, little prison clothing and other things prisoners made, and history about the museum as well, and stuff about Johnny Cash and his visit to the museum. So, I mean, we spent like 45 minutes there in this little museum. So totally worth going to. I think after our run, we went 8, and then it wasn't all that far. It wasn't like a big drive, and you're right at that Folsom prison, and got our picture taken with the prison right behind us. So it was pretty neat. So I would definitely check out Folsom Prison. Totally worth going to if you are in the area. 2 days later, on June 6th, I don't know what June 5th was my wife's birthday. So I think we did hike. I think we went to maybe Independence Trail again, because then we went out to eat for my wife's birthday as well. I think we went to one of those Japanese restaurants where they cook the food in front of you, Japanese steakhouse. I think that's what we did in Nevada City, but I can't quite remember. Or Grass Valley. Grass Valley is the other city right nearby. But on June 6th, we drove up past the city of Forest Hill. So you have to go through Auburn and then to Forest Hill. There's only kind of one way to get to Forest Hill. Now, Forest Hill is a city on the Western States 100-mile race course. It's the only real city you go through, the only kind of main city you go through until you end in Auburn. There's another little tiny city called Michigan Bluff. But Forest City is kind of the only city you really go through, and it's not even a big city. So you have to drive through Forest Hill, and then we went up to Robinson Flat, which is one of the aid stations, because on the training runs, there was snow like 2 miles below Robinson Flat, because as you know, last winter was a gigantic, gigantic snow year. And so I kind of wanted to see like how much snow was still up there, and also show it to my wife, because she was going to try to get up there and see me during the race. So we drove up there, and there was still snow. It had receded maybe 3/4 of a mile, but it was still a mile or so from Robinson Flat, so you just could not drive any farther. But at least I showed her how to get there, and we did that. Then on the way back, we stopped at a place called the Sugar Pine Reservoir. So we did have to go off of the main road and drive, like, I don't know, 5 miles. It's called the Sugar Pine Reservoir, and it's not too far from Forest Hill. And a little info about that. The Sugar Pine Reservoir, or Sugar Pine, the little city, was built by the Madera Sugar Pine Company in 1899. The company had an extensive logging operation in the area between the 1890s and 1931. The mill pond and some service buildings are all that remain of the mill. The company housing units, over the years updated, are still in use today as residences and vacation homes. I think barely anyone lives there now, but anyway, they are still in use, some of these. The reservoir itself, it looks like a lake, was built in 1982 to provide water for Forest Hill. So there's a path that goes around the lake, and the first half, it's only, I don't know, 3 mile path. It wasn't gigantic, something like that. And the first half of it is actually a little path, a paved path. So ran along that for like the first half, and then it was dirt the second half. I don't know if they plan on continuing the little paved part or what, but again, beautiful views, beautiful little lake, and they got little signs around it, little educational signs. And I'm a sucker for those things. I have to stop for every single sign. If anybody wanted to slow me down in a race, just put signs along it, and I will stop and look at every single one, because I just cannot get myself to run by them, because I think, oh, I'm missing something interesting. So they got little signs. You can stop and read the little signs. Again, more beautiful views. Also in the area are what are called chromite mines. Chromite is a chromium iron compound that is a source of chromium. Chromium's a very important metal. And it was mined there from 1876. And it was very important for World War II or World War I because it was used in tanks and other military equipment. And you can also see certain areas you look and the vegetation is just not there. It's just like a big rocky spot. And some of that is called serpentine rock. I'd never heard of this. And serpentine rock is heavy in the elements of silicon, magnesium, and nickel, and yes, chromium. And nothing grows because the serpentine rock is so low in calcium content that plants can't grow there because plants do need some calcium and also some other nutrients that plants need. So in this area, even if it's soil, the soil just has some of the serpentine rock in the soil, and it makes the soil really horrible for growing things. But it's kind of cool to look at, so see that as well. So there was a sign about that. So that was June 6th. So definitely check out the Sugar Pine Reservoir if you're in that area. On June 7th, the next day, I ran a what's called the Pioneer Trail. Now, I think I mentioned the Pioneer Express Trail. This is different. This is the Pioneer Trail. And this is along Highway 20. So where we were in Nevada City, if you wanted to go to Truckee, first you had to drive on Highway 20 for a ways, and then you get to Highway 49, and Highway 49 takes you up to Truckee. Actually, it takes you to Interstate 80, and then to Truckee. All right, so the Pioneer Trail is along Highway 20. And it is in the very western part of the Tahoe National Forest. And this Pioneer Trail, I don't know how long it is. It's quite long. It's at least 10 miles. It's probably 20 miles. That's at least like 20 miles, something like that. So what my wife did is she dropped me off at a place called the Skillman Campground. And then I ran from there back to a place called the Harmony Market. And that's where she parked. And they encourage parking at this little market. The little market's just a little tiny store. It's kind of expensive stuff in there, but it's not a whole lot else. And so I kind of wanted to buy something just to support them, but I couldn't even find anything to buy. I feel kind of bad. I should have bought, you know, a candy bar or something just to give them some money. But they actually built a little spot for people to park their cars to get on the trail for mountain biking or running, along with the parking spots for the store itself. So it's very nice of them to do this, called the Harmony Market. And that's about 5 miles from Nevada City. So again, I'm pretty close to Nevada City. So I ran back from the Skillman Campground about 10 miles to the Harmony Market while my wife was kind of also hiking along the trail towards me. And again, another beautiful run. You're pretty much in forest the whole time. And just lots of neat just forest views. And sometimes you'd kind of get out and there'd be a longer distance view, just a beautiful run, great little trail, and you come across these pine cones that were at least a foot long, biggest pine cones I've ever seen in my life. They also had pine cones like this up by Robinson Flat, but I've never seen such gigantic, maybe even like 16 inches or something, gigantic pine cones. I actually wanted to grab one and carry it with me, but I was like 5 miles away, so I didn't carry it the whole 5 miles, but very big pine cones. I never seen anything so big. A little bit about the Pioneer Trail. It follows one of several emigrant trails that were used to travel to California following the discovery of gold. From Bear Valley, several routes were used, including one that traveled down down Washington Ridge to Nevada City. The Pioneer Trail utilizes segments of the emigrants' wagon road, as well as using several historic ditches and other old roadbeds. So again, I highly recommend the Pioneer Trail along Highway 20. Very neat. And sometimes you're almost too close to Highway 20. You're literally like 10 feet from it. It's a little bit of a bummer because cars are going by. But more often, you are veered away from it and you can't hear the highway. But the nice thing is you can't get too lost because you're like right next to the highway. And it's marked pretty well. All this stuff I do is marked pretty well because I get lost easily. So if I was able to run these things, trust me, you can run these things. I don't do stuff where you have to navigate. On June 9th, a couple of days later, we did the Deer Creek Tribute Trail. This is the only trail we did really deep in a city. It's in Nevada City. Nevada City is not very big. And they have this little trail. And when you're in it, you think you're out in the country. It's beautiful. This beautiful little trail. There's like a little creek that runs through. And so it's actually quite up and down. There's a lot of vertical in this trail system of just a few miles, but it is beautiful. The people in Nevada City have to be really happy that they can just wander off to this trail right in the middle of the city, and it's like you're out in nature again. And the trail itself like I said, it's called the Deer Creek Tribute Trail. It memorializes the early contributions of the native Nissenin peoples. I'd never heard of the Nissenins, but these are Native Americans who lived here, and Chinese people evidently lived in the area. Again, there are plaques and things like this to read, a bunch of those, which I love, so I had to read all those. And there's this beautiful suspension bridge, kind of a bouncy bridge, so you're running across, it's bouncy, bouncy, bouncy. A beautiful bridge goes over the creek, and you're way above the creek. So again, some really cool views from there. And it's a tribute bridge also to the Nissenin. I'm probably not saying that right. Nissenin, well, however you say it, peoples. My wife loved this. We went to this about three times as well. Really beautiful, all covered, so you're out of the sun, and you know, just really, really nice trail system. So if you're near Nevada City, go check that little trail system out. Really nice, and it's not just one trail. You've got a few different paths you can take, but it's a great place to go, you know, get some short runs in. On June 9th, that same day, later in that day, we drove to Lake Tahoe and down to south of Lake Tahoe because I was going to do a race the next day. Yes, I jumped into a race. So we went down to the South Lake Tahoe to actually a city called South Lake Tahoe City. And that's a pretty beautiful drive because on your left is Lake Tahoe. And you need to stop and this place toward pretty close to South Lake Tahoe City and look at Emerald Island, a beautiful island out in Lake Tahoe, and you can see it. Great place for pictures. When we stopped there, and I opened my car door, and it was unbelievably windy. I didn't know it. I mean, I kind of knew it was windy because the car's getting buffed around a little bit, but I still didn't realize how windy it was. Open the car door, a gust of wind takes the door out of my hand, bashes into a car next to me. And me being the nice guy I am, there was a kid in the back seat like sleeping, luckily. Well, maybe not so luckily, because had no one been there, I would have put a note on their door saying, we hit your car, because I put a big dent in the front of their car. Yes, big dent, just from my car door catching the wind. So there was a kid in the back like sleeping. We pound on it. Turns out his parents were out hiking. So he calls his parents, and we have to wait like 45 minutes for them to get back. And then they yell at us. They're all mad. And I'm like, I'm sorry, man. You know, at least I didn't drive away. Anyway, that wasted like an hour and a half, a long time dealing, because everyone called their insurance agents and all this and that. Ugh. Anyway, we got it sorted out. So our insurance paid for it, thankfully. But it was really freezing. That wind was really, really cold. So it's kind of funny. We went there and froze to death, and I bashed someone's car in. That part was not funny. I was not too happy about that. But anyway, we stayed in South Lake Tahoe City. And the next day, I did a race called the Cody Lake Sierra Trail Challenge, half marathon. And this was in Kyburtz, California. So this is down in the Sierra Mountains. It's like 20 miles south of South Lake Tahoe. So we drove like another 20 miles south, right in the heart of the Sierras. And I decided to do this race just for fun. I thought it'd be a good half marathon training race, very, very hilly, lots of elevation. I thought this would be a great little training run exactly 2 weeks before Western States. So we get there, and it's held at a place called the Strawberry Lodge. And some folks actually stayed at the Strawberry Lodge. We just stayed at a cheap hotel. And the race director's name is Troy Lim, and he has a number of trail races, and I can't think of it right now what they're called, so I will put a link to his race schedule. He's got a bunch of different races. And he gave a course talk that had us in stitches because he's very excitable in a very good way, and he's trying to like explain everything going on, in part because the course had to be changed because there was so much snow at the top that he had to change the course at the top, which I'll get to in a moment. So he's trying to explain all this, and everyone's like, oh. And he's just a very excitable guy in a very great way. He's very passionate about his races. And so he's, you know, explaining everything and just, you know, really, you'd have to see it. It's too bad I don't have a recording of it because you would love listening to it. There weren't a whole lot of people signed up for this. It's maybe like 30 people or something. There was also a 9-mile race and a 10K race and a 5K. So The whole point was to run for the half marathoners. We were supposed to run up about 6.5 miles and then run back down. And when I mean up, I mean up. Unfortunately, there was so much snow that we could only run up about 4.5 miles. So we ran up about 4.5, ran back to the start. That was 9. And then we had to run up, you know, a couple miles and a couple miles back to do it. So we had to kind of repeat the lower part, which is a bit of a bummer. The thing about Troy, he's such a nice guy that first he said, well, if you don't want to do it, you know, I think he had already told people this. If you don't want to do it, I'll let you run another race for free. And that's partly why maybe only 30 people were there. He even said that to the people there. He said, look, if you want to do this, go ahead and do this, and I'll still let you do another one for free. I mean, that's a nice guy right there, so you got to appreciate that. But anyway, we took off, and like I say, you just go up and up and up, and just through this beautiful, dense forest, and then you kind of come out. About mile 3, we hit the snow, so the last mile and a half was in snow. And I mean, slippery, deep, tough to run in snow. And it was great, though. I mean, you had these, again, just beautiful views. I mean, your up-close views are beautiful. And then we came to a lake, which would be the Sierra – no, wait. What's the name of this? Cody Lake. Yeah, Cody Lake Sierra Trail Challenge. So we came up to Cody Lake. We did get to see that. And you run kind of partially around the lake. And that's where we had to stop. We should have continued on, but we had to stop there. But those views were fantastic. And I was stopping and getting all types of pictures. But it was sketchy. You're running on kind of the side of the snow, and it's very slippery. And there's a couple of spots where if you slid enough, I would have slid directly into the lake, which probably would have been rather cold and miserable. But luckily, I did not do that. But anyway, ran up to there, ran back down, then you know went back up the partial distance and came back down. So I really enjoyed it. It was a really fun race. There was one part where you had to go over this big creek, and everything's very much rushing water because a lot of snow melt. There was a gigantic tree we had to cross, so you had to walk on the tree, but the tree was like 6 feet wide, so it was really easy to walk over. But even so, Troy had a person on each end. Troy was on one end, and someone else was on the other end just to make sure we were okay, and he had a rope to hang on to. Almost didn't need to hang on to the rope, but he made sure we were safe getting over this thing, because if you fell, that might have been kind of bad, but it was really easy to go over. So the elevation at the top was right around 7,200 feet, so we got a little nice little elevation there. And oh, on the way back down, again, because he's like so nice, he made it so you could either go up or down on a road or go up or down on the trail. You could pick either one. Normally, the road's not part of it, but he's like, oh, if you don't want to do this sketchy trail, because you know a lot of it was muddy and snowy and all that, he goes, you can take the road. Well, of course, I took the trail up, and I meant to take the trail down, but somehow I missed it. So I ended up on the road, which is okay. It was actually kind of fun to run down the road on the way down just to go a different way. It was much longer, though, so I don't think it saved time because it was like a mile longer or something like that to go down the road. There wasn't a whole lot in aid stations, I think in part because it was really tough to get up there. There was just a couple places with water, which was fine because, I mean, I had stuff with me, and you run up 4.5 and come back down. It's not that long. And at the start, there was an aid station with not a ton of stuff, but some stuff. This is a pretty cheap race, so there's no reason to expect a whole bunch of stuff or anything like that. I mean, it was a beautiful training race, just fantastic. Really, really enjoyed it. Let's see, my time. It's funny because I told my wife that this should take me about 3 hours. I just pulled that number out of nowhere. And my time was 2:58:33. How's that for a pretty good darn prediction, right? A minute 27 off what I told my wife. I was fifth of 15, so there are 15 who did the half marathon, and then more people who did the other races. Fifth of 15 overall, fourth of 9 males, and the woman's winner was Keely McCaskey. She finished in 2:42:42, so yes, she did beat me by 15 minutes. Very good. And guess what? I have an interview with Keely, and I will play that right now. Okay, I'm talking to a half marathon finisher, and what is your name and where are you from?
My name is Keely McCaskey, and I live in Albany in the East Bay.
In the East Bay. All right, so have you ever done one of this guy's races before?
No, this is the first half marathon I've done with Troy, but I was very, very pleased and excited by it.
Did you like his opening little speech about the course?
Yes, it was a very thorough trail debriefing.
Very enjoyable. I wish I had had that on audio, because
yes.
That was rather entertaining.
Yes, yeah, he gave us many alternatives because of the, you know, the right. rushing river and the snow, so very right. entertaining.
So on the way up, did you end up taking the log or the road?
I took the road, actually, on the way up, and then on the way down, I took the log just to see both.
Now, that's interesting, because I ended up taking the log on the way up,
uh-huh.
and on the way down, I missed the turn for it.
Oh.
So I took the road on the way down.
Okay.
And I ran, and then I saw the truck, the truck, and all of a sudden, at the blue ribbon. So I turned around and ran back up the road, and I still never found the turn.
Really? Oh.
So I turned back around.
Well, I think the road ended up being pretty easy, though.
Easier. It was, and I guess the nice thing, we both then saw kind of different parts,
yes.
although the road wasn't quite as interesting. But.
Yeah, it was less adventurous, I guess.
Yeah. So what did you think overall of the course?
I loved it. Yeah, especially getting up to Cody Lake. It was beautiful and satisfying to get over all the snow to see that final view of the lake and the mountains in the background. So I loved it.
Yeah. We have a fire next to us, and it's about to engulf us. At any moment here, hopefully we'll survive.
Yeah.
So at any point, did you start to get lost or anything?
No. I mean, when I, you know, crossed the log coming back, there was a little turn to avoid another little creek crossing, which I was got sort of
turned
around.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just went through the creek.
Nice. Yeah, Troy helped me. He came and helped me find the other log.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you stop and take any pictures?
I didn't, no. I didn't bring a camera.
I took like 50 pictures.
Good.
Lots of pictures.
Awesome.
So the views are really amazing up at the lake, don't you think?
Yes, it was beautiful.
The snow was a little sketchy. Were you sliding a little on the snow?
It was a little bit. You know what? I brought yak tracks, though.
Oh.
And so it was really helpful.
Did you wear them the whole way or put them on?
No, like, I put them on once it started to get pretty snowy, and it really helped.
That was smart.
Yeah.
I should have done, because I was kind of skating down
a little bit. Yeah, it was a little precarious, but.
Okay, so how long have you been doing trail running?
To a moderate degree since I was in high school, I guess, but.
It was like 2 years ago?
No, that was a while ago.
A while ago?
Ten years ago?
Okay.
Yeah, 10 years ago. So I've been doing, you know, running for over 10 years, but just have recently started doing actual half marathon races.
Most of them are shorter than that?
Yeah, I usually, I'm just getting into the half marathon distance.
A lot in the Bay Area?
You know, I've only really done trail half marathons up in the Sierras, so I prefer the small, you know, intimate.
The shorter ones you've been doing, have those been in the Bay Area, or have they been up here to
yeah,
also?
I've done a couple of shorter races. I did a 15K when I was living in Quito in Ecuador.
Nice.
Normally I just run for pleasure.
So. Have you ever done like marathons, road races?
No marathons.
Are you a hiker? Because I see that looks like a hiking backpack.
Yes, hiking is my main thing.
Where are the cool places to hike?
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Around
that's
here.
A big question.
How about around here then? PCT?
Oh, you know, I haven't done the PCT, but pretty much anywhere.
Yosemite? Have you hiked Yosemite?
Yeah.
What's the other one? The Muir Trail?
Am I saying the Muir Trail? John Muir Trail.
Yeah, yeah. Have you done that?
I haven't. No, that's a little crowded for me.
Is that the one that the crazy lady did who wrote the book? Is that the Muir Trail?
No, you know.
Cheryl Strayed.
Oh, I think.
She tried to kill herself on that.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
No, she didn't try to kill herself.
I know there was a movie done about a woman who did the PCT, but.
Maybe that's what it was.
Okay. Yeah, I think she made it. I think she was okay.
Okay. Can you think of any favorite races that you've done, either in the Bay Area here, or just anything else that you've done that's kind of interesting?
Well, I'd really recommend the other race I did up in Mammoth Lakes. It was like a shake and quake half marathon at 8,000 feet around the Inyo craters.
Oh.
And it was beautiful. It was really,
I would like that.
Yes.
Was it as gnarly as this?
There wasn't as much elevation change. It was pretty flat, but it was all at 8,000 feet. So it was challenging in that regard.
Ah, very good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what shoes did you wear? They look like kind of beat up.
Yeah, they're Mizunos, and okay. I've had them for quite a while. I don't even know what model.
They worked except when it got snowy, then you used the Yak Tracks.
Yes, you know,
smart.
I'd recommend shoes with a better... Yeah. Grip on the bottom, for sure.
Probably. Are you better at, like, hiking, running uphill, or running downhill?
Probably hiking.
Yeah, me too. I'm a real poor downhill runner. So
I'm not a fan. It's hard on the knees, but...
Yeah, I trip and all that stuff if I go too fast. All right. Well, do you have anything else you're signed up for or thinking about doing?
Oh, not at the moment. Not at the moment. I'm a teacher, so I have the summer off, and I'm going to be doing a lot of different backpacking trips.
Oh.
This summer in Bucks Lake Wilderness. I'm going to take 2 weeks in Colorado to backpack there.
Nice.
But so far, I got to sign up for another trail running race.
My niece just moved to Colorado, and she's a big backpacker.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
A bit of a climber as
well.
So what were you doing in Ecuador?
I worked for a year with a nonprofit called Eco Rural, and they work with local rural communities to sort of promote food sovereignty and food justice for rural indigenous people who are losing, you know, traditional seed varieties and whose culture is being sort of, you know, endangered by the influx of industrialized agriculture.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That sounds very, very good. Very nice.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Do you speak Spanish?
Sí.
Can you say say what your name is, and then say, this is Topics in Endurance Sports. Could you think you could say that? Because that's the name of the podcast.
Okay.
Say, I am, and then your name. This is Topics in Endurance Sports in Spanish.
Bueno, me llamo Kili McCaskey, y este podcast se llama Topics in Endurance Sports. Deportes, tópicos en deportes de distancia.
Distancia, is that what you said?
Distance, I guess.
That was pretty good.
Okay, well.
All right, well, anyway, thank you very much for talking
to me.
Thank
you so much,
and, are you
going
to do some more backpacking now?
You know, I think I'm just going to rest.
Just going to rest.
Yes.
All right.
Congratulations.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, there you go. Thank you, Keely, for talking to me. And I apologize that it's taken me 4 months. She probably, well, maybe she completely forgot about it. Who knows? But if she was thinking about this fact that she was interviewed, she's probably wondering what is going on. But I will have to send her a message and say, hey, I finally got your interview up. So she was very nice, and I really like the work she's doing or was doing there in Ecuador. That sounds very cool. Sounds like she's a pretty cool person with all the hiking and things that she does. So, and congrats, Keely, on your win. She's a good runner as well. So anyway, after that race, and by the way, like I said, Troy Lim has a number of races. You might look for him on Facebook. Troy, T-R-O-Y, Lim, L-I-M-B, just like your arm or leg. And he puts on a whole bunch of races, and I would not hesitate to give one a try because, like I said, they're not very expensive, and they look fun to do, and or they can be good training races. So check them out. And I think that a lot of them are in these really neat places to run as well. So on the way back, instead of coming driving the way we came along Lake Tahoe, we went a different way. So we ended up making a gigantic loop from Nevada City because we went along Lake Tahoe to get to the race. And then on the way back, we headed west and then back north through Auburn again, so making a gigantic circle. So we going west from the race, we would be on Highway 50 and then to 49, and we went through the city of Cool, California, where the Western States race goes through Cool. And we went back through Auburn. And near, by the way, near the running store, the Auburn running store, we stopped again to get frozen yogurt at a place called Tango, T-A-N-G-O. Very good frozen yogurt. We went there probably 3 or 4 times when we were in California. So if you're in California near Auburn, check out Tango Frozen Yogurt. Highly recommend it. Should get them to sponsor the show, all right? All right, so on June 12th, which is a couple of days later, we hiked at what's called the Quarry Trail in the Auburn State Recreation Area. So again, it's in Auburn and very close to the Western States course again. And it's a very nice hike. So this is what it says about the Quarry Trail. This great 11-mile out-and-back hike along the Middle Fork of the American River ends in a spectacular amphitheater of sheer limestone walls rising around you. Enjoy the natural beauty of the American River Canyon and also pass by an enormous cave that was a site of both paleontologic paleo stuff. The word's not coming out of my mouth right now. Excavations and more mining activities. Learn about the plants and animals present today. Yes, that means I got little signs to look at. In the canyon environment, as well as the mining history of the region, the trail is wide and smooth and is mostly level in grade. It was fairly level, with the exception of the last bit up to the quarry. The trail follows a path of an old railway that was used to carry out the limestone. When it existed, the railway had standard gauge size tracks, and the cars were actually backed down the path four times every day to be filled with limestone and taken 7 miles to Auburn, the city itself, Auburn proper, for cement production. In 1942, the railroad tracks were taken out for scrap iron for World War II. So as we ran down it, it's really wide along the river, so very nice place to hike and run. Again, really nice views of the river the whole way. And I did see this cave, and it's got bars on it and a couple of signs. So the point is, the Native American peoples used this cave as kind of a place to live, and then later they used it as an entrance for mining back in the early 1900s. I didn't do the whole 11-mile distance of it. I went, a few miles down and turned around and came back like normal. My wife liked this hike as well. It's also pretty exposed, but it's a nice, pretty hike. And this is one of the places where you could park your car at a spot and pay a bunch of money. But if you go just a little ways farther, you park for free. So we did that, and we went back to our car, but then we kept walking a little bit farther, and you get to No Hands Bridge, which is the bridge that you cross during Western States. It's the very last aid station, 96.5 miles. And maybe there's a little aid station, one more little aid station, but it's at 96.5 miles. It's called No Hands Bridge. And you're right at the kind of bottom of Auburn. And when you go over the bridge, then you go up a couple of miles, and then you're almost to the finish. Of course, I did not make it to No Hands Bridge during the race. I didn't get that far. It's actually called the Mountain Quarries Railroad Bridge, and it used to carry limestone to connect with the railroad in Auburn. So, from that mine up to Auburn, and it was built in 1912. It was the longest arch concrete railroad bridge, and I'm not sure if it was the longest one in the world or in North America or what, but it's a concrete railroad bridge, pretty neat to look at. The railroad itself stopped in 1939, but in 1964, there was a huge flood that destroyed the modern Highway 49 bridge, but not this one. This bridge is built to last. Pretty much nothing's ever going to take this thing down. So in 1964, the Highway 49 bridge fell down in the flood, and they pressed this one into service for cars for a little bit. The whole bridge was also submerged in 1986 in the Valentine's Day flood, but didn't hurt the bridge anyway. It stood there anyway, while a dam 2 miles downstream was completely destroyed. So like I said, it's a very tough bridge. As far as the name of the bridge, the No Hands Bridge, lore has it that Ina Robinson, this lady, rode a horse across the bridge using no hands at a time when there were no handrails on the bridge. There are handrails now. And it is just a pedestrian bridge. It's like gravel kind of on the top. You walk across it, so lots of people like to walk across it. And again, really beautiful views from the bridge to look at. But anyway, this lady evidently went across it riding her horse and didn't use her hands. I don't know where her hands were, but that's why it's called No Hands Bridge, I guess. All right, on June 13th, we went back to the Deer Creek Tribute Trail in Nevada City. I told you that was very beautiful. Then we drove to Berkeley. So this was one of the few things we did that was really touristy. We went to Berkeley and we spent the night at my sister's husband's brother, David, and his wife, Tamara. We stayed with them in Berkeley. Thank you very much, guys. And the next day, June 14th, we did a little run up in Tilden Regional Park in the Berkeley Hills. So if you know anything about Berkeley, it's built really on the side of a big, gigantic hill. And up here, you get very good views of the bay, or if you're kind of looking the other direction, kind of toward the valley, the California Valley. We just kind of a short run up there, kind of steep and up and down. So we did a little bit of a run up there, and then we left there. So even though we were in Berkeley, I did not visit the university because it's where I graduated from. I went to school there for 5.5 years in the late 80s. And one of my huge regrets is that I was not a runner at the time. So all this running I could have done in California, all these races I could have entered when I was in my late 20s and obviously could have been a much better runner than I am now, I missed it all. I didn't even know trail running existed. If I could go back in time, that's one thing I wish I could go back in time and do. I could have done Western States, in my 20s and probably would have done a heck of a lot better. But anyway, I can't do anything about that. So I didn't go to the university and check it out. I thought about it, but we went over into San Francisco, and we went to a Giants game, and then we went to Fisherman's Wharf and stuff like that. It was a fun day. Lots of walking, a lot of sun, so you needed sunscreen and all that. Because where we parked, Fisherman's Wharf and the Giants baseball stadium are 4 miles apart. So we kind of parked in between, but we ended up doing a lot of walking. And actually, that was kind of painful. It's easier to run than it is to walk. So just a lot of walking. It was cool. Saw the Giants play and Fisherman's Wharf. It was kind of fun. But the funny thing is, later, I kind of realized that I really kind of enjoy just going to a trail more than I enjoy that. I mean, I like saying I went to the Giants game, and Fisherman's Wharf's cool to look at and touristy stuff like that. But along with that are the headaches, all the traffic. It took us 2 hours to go 12 miles from the park we ran at to where we parked in San Francisco. 12 miles total. It took us 2 hours. The traffic, just getting over the Bay Bridge, was unbelievable. We spent probably $200 between tickets and eating and stuff like that, paying to go over the bridge for parking. Parking was expensive. The food we ate was generally not very good. Most of it, the ballpark food, not that great. Or we paid a lot for it. We actually had a meal in this place, I forget what it's called. I'm sorry. There's this market between Fisherman's Wharf and the stadium. We had a really good meal. It was a fish-based meal. I just can't think of what the building is called. It's kind of a new building. And it was really good, but it was just very pricey. And, it just came to me boy, I go into a trail, you pay a lot less. Yeah, you may have to drive to get there, but, you pay a lot less, and there's just so little headache. You just go out for a run or a hike or something like that. And really, this is the first time it hit me that much, because I was doing all this trail stuff, and then we tried to do a touristy day, and it's the end of the touristy day, I was just so exhausted, and I had such kind of a mental, not a real headache, but kind of just a mental headache from all the traffic and all the money and everything else. It's kind of crazy, all the crowds, stuff like that. So that was kind of an insight I had. On June 16th, on Friday, this is now we're about a week before the race, we went to see to watch a race at Squaw Valley, which is where my race was going to begin a week later. But they had a race this weekend, and it's a weekend where they have a race on Friday and a race on Saturday. So on Friday they have what was called the Broken Arrow Sky Race, and the race itself was the Vertical K, like a vertical kilometer. But that kilometer doesn't have a whole lot of meaning. It just means it's a short, very steep race. So this race was about 5K in distance, about 3 miles, but it has 3,100 feet of gain, which is absolutely crazy, okay? A lot of gain for this thing. And basically, you're running straight up the side of a mountain. You're running up a ski slope is what you're doing. Not the ski slope proper, but along next to ski slopes. Probably part of it is on ski slopes. And there was a lot of snow still because of all the snow. So at the top, they're running on snow. So we took a tram up one of the... There was one tram kind of still working going up to the top of a... where you take your skis up, and to ski back down. There was one tram working. Cost $40 to go up. In my opinion, too much money, because there were two of us. That's $80 to go up. And for us, all it was to go up and look. In fact, it was for everyone. No one could actually ski down from this spot. They only had one ski run open, and it was in another part. So all there was to do at this one is to go up and look around. And the views were amazing. They were beautiful, really beautiful. And the tram ride was really cool. And, to go up is really neat. And I got a bunch of pictures. And what was cool is as we were going up the tram ride, the race started. So we timed it just right. The race started at 11 a.m. and our tram left at like 11. So as we're going up, we're watching people run up the mountain. And it's kind of like a half mile away, but you can see this big long line of runners. So it was really neat. However, I miscalculated. I misunderstood. I thought when we got to the top, that's where the race ended. But the race ended like a mile away. So we actually did not see the end of the race. I thought, this would be really neat. We'll see the winners come in. Well, we couldn't see the winners come in. But the winners all had to then come back down to here to get back down the mountain. So they had, when they were done with the race, they had to come back down to here and take the tram back down. So we did see actually the actual winner, a guy named J.P. Donovan. And the second place was Max King, who's very famous, actually, a very famous mountain and road runner, kind of an all-around runner. And I got my picture taken with both of them. So that was pretty neat. And Max King, by the way, is this kind of not real tall guy, but he's thick and just all muscle. He's like really impressive-looking dude, by the way. And he's a very, very, very good runner. Most of you will, or any ultra runner will know who Max King is. So it was kind of neat to watch all the runners come in, even though we couldn't really see them finish. We were kind of watching them come in, and I was congratulating them or whatever. So we went back down. The next day, we didn't watch it, but the next day there was a 26-kilometer and 52-kilometer race. So I don't, it wasn't obviously the exact same course. It was a different course going through there. So those had to be pretty grueling. And I do know that Max King won the 26K. So he did the vertical kilometer on Friday afternoon, basically, and the next morning it goes out and wins the 26K, so that's pretty impressive. So that was fun to do. That was fun to watch, even though it was a little pricey going up the tram. If you got a lot of money, go up the tram sometime. If you're pretty strapped, I don't know. You can still see beautiful views without spending quite that much money. On the next day, Saturday, June 17th, I decided to go to a concert, and there's a story behind this. There's a guy named Michael Butler who's got a podcast, and this is kind of what got me into podcasting, by the way, or one reason I got into podcasting. And he's got a podcast called The Rock and Roll Geek Show, which I recommend. If you like rock and roll, check out The Rock and Roll Geek Show. And he's got a band, just a cover band, in California, and he was doing – his band was playing in Tracy, California. So kind of just for fun, I thought, let's go see his band. The band's called The Butlers. I thought, let's go see the band, right, in Tracy, California. So we drove to Tracy, California just to see Michael Butler, which is like a two-hour drive. And Tracy, California is like right in the middle of like the Northern California desert, really hot. It was well over 100 degrees that day. But on our way, we actually stopped in a town called Locke, L-O-C-K-E, California. So a little bit about Locke, California. It's a small community in the agricultural region south of Sacramento. Like I said, very hot. Built by Chinese immigrants during the early 20th century, it is listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1971 and was further designated a National Historic Landmark District in 1990 due to its unique example of historic Chinese American rural community. And they contributed to the building of California via their expertise in agricultural work. And so all Locke, California is now, it's a tiny little town that's got about two or three blocks that have been preserved. That's it. But it is worth going to. If you're anywhere near this area, kind of look south of Sacramento for Locke, California. If you are near it, go check it out. You only need to spend an hour or two there. And it's kind of neat. So when we got there, first we ate at this bar. It's a biker bar called, believe it or not, Al the Wops. And then, yes, WOP is a derogatory term, but that's what it's called, and that's what it's always been called. It's also called Al's Place, a little bit nicer. So the story behind that, Al's Place was constructed in 1915 by Li Bing, Chinese man, Li Bing, and three partners who ran a Chinese restaurant here. Then in 1934, Al Adami, that's Al, and an associate came up the river to become the only non-Chinese business in town. Later, Al purchased the building from Li Bing and continued in the business until his death in 1961. So Al was evidently a character. He would do things like cut off people's neckties because he said that was too dressy. And they would also pin like a dart to money and throw it on the ceiling and stick it on the ceiling. You may have seen this in other places. And it's still up there. There's like $1 zillion worth of dollar bills up in the ceiling. He would stir the ladies' drinks with his fingers. That sounds disgusting. And there's all types of stories about his antics. It's a really neat place to go into. The walls are littered with pictures and all that type of stuff. So if you like that type of thing, it was good. And yes, it was full of bikers. A little bit intimidating. Nah, not really. All types of bikers were in there. There seemed to be kind of one or two main biker gangs, I guess, that were in there. And we went to the back and ate there. So I had like a burger, I think, which was good. And I saw some guys next to me. They got these gigantic steaks. It looked, maybe they were $20, but it was a huge steak. So the food was pretty good. So check out Al's Place. And then we walked up and down the strip a little bit. We saw they have an old gambling den, an old Chinese gambling den, still set up kind of the way it was. And that was really neat to look at. Inside, you can see the different types of gambling tables and stuff that they had. They have an old schoolhouse. There's a visitor center. There was a little store in there, and I got some a Chinese store that sells all types of kind of Chinese-based stuff. And I got some ginger candy, you know, like imported from China. And you know, you also just look at the architecture of the houses and the buildings. They're just kind of unique. So it's just worth a visit if you got an hour or two to check out. So after that, we went to Tracy, California, where this concert was. It was over 100 degrees. It was stiflingly hot, and the concert was outside. Now, thankfully, there were trees, and we were in the shade. It wasn't super humid, so it didn't really feel the 105 or so that it was. And this was, okay, this was all bikers, and this was intimidating, okay? We were the only two there not in black, my wife and I, the only two. Everyone's in black but us two. And the Butlers just play classic 70s covers, you know, Kiss and Cheap Trick and things like this. So it was like fun to watch. And yes, I did meet Michael Butler and got my picture taken with him, so that was kind of cool. One funny thing was I almost got myself killed because I went up to the stage and I'm taking videos of the band and Michael Butler and taking pictures. And there's a girl standing next to me that's got a tattoo on her arm. And I thought it was like Nikki Sixx of the band Motley Crue. That's what it looked like. It may not have been. But I thought this was funny. I said, is that like really Nikki Sixx? So I start to tap her. But the only way to talk to her would be to scream. Because we were right next to the stage. And I thought, I don't want to scream and be obnoxious. But I wanted to get a picture of her tattoo. So I was going to ask her. So finally, I'm like, eh. So while she wasn't looking, I admit, or anything like that. But I took a picture of her tattoo on her arm. I go back and sit down, and this guy, this biker dude, who looks like he could kill me, well, he could kill me, I'm sure, taps him on the shoulder and goes, hey, dude, what's on your phone? And at first, I'm like, I don't know. I don't even register what he means. He goes, what's on your phone? I heard you were taking pictures of girls' asses. So I'm like, ah, instantly I knew, you know, I was quick enough to realize what was going on. I said, no. I took a picture of a girl's tattoo. So here they are. So I showed him every picture in my phone. And then the last one was a picture of this girl's tattoo. And he looks at it. And I said, do you want me to delete it? And he goes, no, it's fine. So he knew that and the picture was, you know, very innocently of her tattoo and nothing else. Thankfully, it wasn't like, you know, of her chest and tattoo, because then it would look worse, but it was just her tattoo. So he was okay. But you know, until that moment, he had this like, I'm going to throw you out, I'm going to kill you and bury you, and no one's ever going to find you again. That's the way he was acting. So a little bit intimidating at the moment there, but luckily I survived that. So that was our Saturday, kind of a crazy little Saturday. So we watched the band and then went back home. So big long drive back home. On June 18th, that was Saturday, that was Father's Day. Yay! No, wait, June 18th would be Sunday. So that was Father's Day on Sunday, and I did another race. So in Nevada City, Nevada City is a very hilly little town. It's just like, the whole town is built on the side of a hill. And they have what's called the Nevada City Mile I'm sorry, they have the Nevada City, what's it called? Nevada City Bicycle Classic is a bike race that goes round and round and round. It's a criterium. So if you know anything about bike races, this is one type of bike race where they pick a few city blocks. You go round and round and round and round and round for a certain amount of time. And whoever, you know, goes really the most laps wins. And if there are a number of people who want the same number of laps, the person who gets there first wins. So you might go for 60 minutes or whatever. And it's a bike race. But this year was the first year they decided in the middle of it to add a running race. So after like half of the bike races, they had a run race, which is just going to be one loop of the course. And I decided to enter on a whim. I just discovered it a week earlier. I don't know how. I said, I'm going to enter. So the course was 1.1 miles, actually, seven turns, and it had 110 feet of up and 110 feet of down. That may not sound like a lot, but it's a whole bunch in 1 mile. Basically, we started near the bottom of the hill, ran down a little bit, took a left, then ran up, 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 up. And I mean, it was like straight up, okay? Straight up. And you get to the, and there's a couple of little false flats on top of that. And you get to the top, and then you had to bomb a very steep hill down to the finish. And again, it's amazing, 110 feet. I don't believe that, because that sounds like nothing. It sounds like just 30-some yards on a football field. I don't get it. I think it was way more than that, but because it was just up and up and up and up. And I did jog it at first, you know, just to see. I jogged the whole thing. And of course, when you're jogging it, it doesn't seem too bad. But when you're running hard, and I got to the top of that thing, I was ready to explode. I was in pain. And it was really hot out. It was pushing 100 degrees while we did this. So it was tough. But anyway, I ran that. It was a blast. And I ended up 7th of 29 overall. There's only 29 people that entered. He did not advertise this too well, the guy that put this on. And by the way, there was like 9-year-old kids. So when I say 7 of 29, some of them are like 9-year-old kids. But get this, there were 5 males ages 50 to 59, and I got first place. Woohoo! My time was 7 minutes and 6 seconds, and I beat the next guy by like 7 seconds or something. And get this, of all the races I would were to win my age group, this race, you got 2 prizes. First, I got a can of Nevada City Bicycle Classic beer. It's a special beer they make just for the race. I got a can of that, and I won $50. So he gave $50 to the male who was over 50, the first male over 50. And then I actually won the first male over 50, then the first female over 50, and then under 50, or something like that it was. And it, so he gave out $200. This came out of this guy's pocket, by the way, the guy who put this on. I feel bad he didn't advertise it a little more and get more people, because he's really cool that he did this. So he gave me $50 and a can of beer. So I felt like a superstar, you know. Pretty funny that I win this little rinky-dink race, you know. The least impressive thing I've ever done as far as number of people entering or anything like that, and then I win $50. Now, nothing else I've ever done, I would have won much of anything, I don't think. But anyway, that was really fun. I really enjoyed that. And it was fun to watch the bike races too. My wife and I enjoy watching bike races. So it's crazy to watch the bikers go down the hill. They're going like 70 miles an hour down a hill. Then they have to slam on their brakes and take a left at the very bottom. So pretty crazy. So that was the Nevada City Mile. That's what that was called. So if you're ever near Nevada City on Father's Day, hey, maybe you can win $50, because like I said, it was the first year no one knew about this. That's why I was able to win. So, all right, on June 20th, the next day, at the end of June 19th, or June 18th on Father's Day, I think the next day my daughter got into town. So on June 19th, we did the Deer Creek Tribute Trail again, the one in Nevada City, the beautiful one about the Nisenan people. We did that. And then on the 20th, now we're getting very close to my race. So I'm pretty much done running. I'm just doing a couple little runs every day, or not every day, many days. I was just doing little runs next to our Airbnb. So I haven't mentioned those. And I did some heat training on a lot of those days. I just put on a whole bunch of clothing and go hike and jog. So I'm not mentioning any of those. But some of the days where we didn't do anything, that's what I did. So on June 20th, I guess this is like Monday. Yeah, no, Tuesday. June 20th, we went to Sacramento, first time we actually went into Sacramento, to the California State Railroad Museum, and that was really neat. I encourage people to go there. I can't remember what we paid. It may have been $20 or something. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was more. I don't know. But it's a big museum, and it's pretty darn cool. They have actual trains inside, train cars. I mean, quite a few of them. And some of you can go inside and, you know, walk through it, and they're just really neat to look. I don't know how anybody cannot like old trains. They're just beautiful old trains, you know, refurbished. They also had some old cars in there. So if you like cars from the 30s and 40s and 50s and stuff like that, they had that. And tons of train memorabilia, just all types of anything train you can think of. Pictures and artifacts and all types of things. I mean, we spent easily a couple hours in there. So I really like the California State Railroad Museum. And it's in or right next to Old Town Sacramento, which I never even knew existed. But it's basically how Sacramento probably looked, you know, in the 100 years ago or whatever. It's all kind of fixed up, very nice looking. You walk along your boardwalks and stuff like that. And they got restaurants, all types of shops, you know, souvenir shops, of course. And they got bars, and they got a visitor center and tattoo shops, a few tattoo shops and stuff like that. So it's worth going into if you need some gifts, you know, you can wander into the shops. It's just kind of nice to walk around. It was unbelievably hot. It was well over 105 degrees again, and we were kind of dying walking around there. But it's just worth walking around. So, I mean, that Railroad Museum in Old Town Sacramento, you can easily kill a few hours. So if you're in the area, go check that out. We ate at a place called Fat City's Bar and Cafe, and the food was pretty good. You know, it wasn't horribly expensive. It was pretty good. I don't remember what I had, probably another burger or something. But the inside is really neat to look at. The people have collected chandeliers from like and lamps and stuff like this from around the world, and windows. It's like this big ceiling window thing that's really neat to look at. And the decor is just pretty neat. They got a bar, a gigantic bar that came from a movie set. I forget the movie, but they would tell you it's really huge. Bar and some other old stuff. It's kind of neat to look in. Even if you just go get a drink or something, you could go in there and look at all the stuff inside. So that's Fat City's Bar and Cafe. Finally, the very last day, this is the end, before getting ready for the race, on June 21st, we went to the Bernhard Museum in Auburn. It's just a house. One of these little things you probably a lot of people just drive by and don't think about, but I love these little places, little tiny museums. It's called the Bernhard Museum. And this house was built in 1851 as the Traveler's Rest Hotel. And now the Bernhard House has been welcoming visitors for over 150 years. It's filled with artifacts and furnishings from a bygone era. The Bernhard House transports visitors to a simpler time. And we got a nice tour. A lady gave us a tour. And I love places like that. You know, you see the old furnishings, the appliances, the clothing, the rooms, every little bit of it. Outside, they had a barn with some horse-drawn carriages that you could look at. And there's also another building that I think is a winery, or they sell wine. But it was open when we got there, and then at the end of the tour, it was closed. So didn't get to go in to see that, but that's there too. And so that is in Auburn. So check out the Bernhard Museum if you're like me and you like stuff like that. And ladies and gentlemen, that is it. This is 1 hour and 22 minutes. Like always, I know I talk too much. I hope this was interesting. And like I said, it might be better to look at the pictures. Also, I will put this up as a YouTube, although it'll be too late now, right? too late to tell you that, but I always record my podcasts and put them up on YouTube, and there's no difference except the pictures are on YouTube. So, you know, if you want to hear it again, wait till I put it on YouTube, and then you'll see all the pictures flashing up as I'm talking about them. And I'll try to put at least one or two, maybe three pictures per thing I talk about. It takes quite a while to actually do that. And again, I'll do that with the show notes too, so you can check all these things out. So I'm hoping you found something interesting in all this, and you can plan your trip to California in the area. I do want to thank a couple of guys who live in the area, Jack Meyer and Ken Krause. They gave me a lot of these ideas of where to run, and I just kind of found them on Facebook by searching one way or the other. And they would say, hey, run the Pioneer Trail or try the Independence Trail or go run up by Truckee. And they're the ones that gave me a lot of these ideas. So thanks to you two guys. Jack Meyer, by the way, I think just finished a 200-mile race, like the Lake Tahoe 200-miler or something. Ken Krause run Western States a number of times himself. He's kind of a Western States expert and volunteers at Western States. So another very nice guy. Thanks to David and Tamara, the ones who we stayed with in Berkeley. Thanks to my wife for putting up with me and helping organize all this. And to my daughter and her boyfriend, Jonathan, for coming out to California to spend some time with me and to watch me not finish. And that is it for today. I sometimes have other little segments to the show, but we're not going to do those. Please contact me. I'm still not really getting people to contact me. I'm not really building a little community here, and everybody wants to do that. I would like to do that. So if you have anything you want to send in about anything whatsoever, chemsmith1@gmail.com, chemsmith1@gmail.com. So, or send in an MP3 audio comment. Figure out how to do that and make it a 5-minute or so audio comment, and I will play it on the show. Again, go find out more about me at runsmith.net, coaching services and so on. And that's it. This is Run Smith Enterprises presenting Topics in Endurance Sports, signing out. Have a fun workout.